Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today. I want to talk to you this weekend about going pro in the area of your resources and your finances, because let's face it, we can all ride a bike, but you can't ride a bike like that. There's a trick, there's a momentum, there's practice that goes into it. And so God wants us to go pro in our finances. Now I have a question for you. How many of y'all could use a little bit more money in your life? Raise your hand. How many of y'all could use it like right away? See, God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to stop being amateur and actually go pro, going pro in your finances. And He can do that, and He can help you supernaturally. I also want to tell you that I'm here to help you financially. I want you to get from the land of lack where you are right now, maybe, to the land of prosperity, which is debt-free, over the land of overflow. But to do that, I think I must start by sharing with you a little bit of my own story. The Bible says this. He said, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But a lot of us hear the truth, but we don't know the truth. There's a difference. So there's some small tweaks that can lead to really big peaks in the area of your finances. So my dad was a cop over in Woodson Terrace up by the airport. In fact, he probably arrested some of those people that yelled from the North County area. And he decided he had a compassion for people, so he was going to be a police officer and he was going to be a good cop. And then he lived in a trailer court we did right up the road here and about, I don't know, a couple miles up the road in Fenton. Never dreamed that, you know, we would actually half of our staff probably lives in a condo development right there in that area. Also, he had a desire to do more in the area of helping people, so he thought, what I'll do is I'll sell everything I own, and we're going to buy a travel trailer, like a 29-foot Holiday Rambler travel trailer. We're going to move in this travel trailer, and we're going to live by faith. That means you don't have health care, you don't have health insurance, you just have blessed assurance, like Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. These are a problem. They were going from church to church, and the churches didn't have any information about resources, so they couldn't bless you. It's hard to bless somebody when you don't have the ability to bless. In fact, at the end of this talk tonight, we actually go into a Walmart. We do cool stuff all the time, but I said, let's show this. So I took some cameras into Walmart, and we just started paying people's bills randomly, bought people televisions, and did really cool stuff. And that's what money's for. That got people's attention to know God loves them, God favors them, the Lord's looking out for them. Come on, somebody. So my dad, you know, he said, well, I'm going to find out what the Bible has to say. Since we're parked beside these little churches, right, and there's no money, he has nothing to do during the day, so he started reading his Bible. As a preacher, that's a great idea, right? Come to find out, two-thirds of the parables in the Bible are dealing with the area of money, a right relationship with money. So many times the enemy, let me talk to you about this, the enemy has convinced church people that money's bad. Money is the root of all evil. Now, the Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. In other words, you can love money and not even have any money. Can you say amen? You know who you are right now. You've really, really got to get the concept that God wants you blessed so that you can be a blessing. Because somewhere around this town, there are four single moms driving in brand new Volkswagen Jettas, sales tax paid for because of money. In Haiti tonight, there are kids playing on playgrounds, the two biggest in the entire country of Haiti, were paid for because of your money. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise. The actual nation of Haiti, I didn't know this till last week, the nation of Haiti only has one ambulance. Now, there are more ambulances that the hospitals own, but the nation only has one. And then there's orphanages that we support, they had an old rundown ambulance. They called the other day and said, ours broke down. It's junk. It's like 30 years old. We need a new one. Can you send us $68,000? And guess what? We're getting ready to do that. And then they called back and said, that's just the ambulance. That's not all the medical gear. I'm like, oh my God, shoot me. But we are shipping the whole amount to them. Come on, that's what money is for. So my dad was living in this travel trailer, right? And so he was learning to live by faith. And here's a scripture that he stumbled across, which changed our life forever. Isaiah 48:17, it says, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, your God. Everybody shout, he's my God. My God. Come on, say it again. Make it personal. He's my God. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who, check this out, teaches you to profit and leads you in the way that you should go pro. I'm going to lead you in the, I added that last part because I thought it was kind of good. lead you in the way that you should go. Now, success in life is simply making more right decisions than wrong decisions. One of the greatest decisions that you ever made was going to Christ and saying, Jesus, make me Lord and Savior of your life. The second greatest decision you made was picking Faith Church. Come on, somebody, how to give God praise today. How many of y'all think that was a good decision? Come on, right now. And a better decision would be raise your hand in front of your pastor. Come on, raise your hand right now. So it teaches you to profit. So teach, what do I need to know? Where do I need to go? Success in life is making more right decisions than wrong decisions. So many times people use their MasterCard to pay their Visa. They're running around struggling, trying to figure out how they can be successful. But we never get right financially if we don't get right with God. See, he can put his super on our natural, and we can be supernaturally empowered to be at the right place at the right time. That means the Earth City campus was $21 million, and we got up for $6.3 million. That's like the world transferring wealth into our hands. It's like a multimillionaire giving us millions and millions of dollars, being at the right place at the right time. I'm here to tell you that on this teaching here, as we finalize this week in GoPro, God really wants this to be the banner years for you. But you have to learn some things from God's word to GoPro, teach you to profit. So here's one of the things my dad did. He started finding any and all scriptures that he could get pertaining to prosperity, money, God wanting you blessed. And then he started having a right relationship with money. In other words, he understood now that money is neither good nor bad. Money is just here to serve a purpose. It will help people or it will hurt people. It'll buy drugs or it'll rescue girls out of sex trafficking, which, by the way, the L.A. Dream Center is an old hospital in L.A. where a lot of old movie stars were born. Well, we helped Matthew Barnett and the guys buy that, and now there's a whole floor of girls there tonight, over 20 of them, that have been rescued from sex trafficking, and they're getting help. That's what money's for. But see, my dad didn't realize that his shoulders that I would stand on tonight, as we would get into the gospel, as we would find freedom, all he was trying to do was learn to eat regular. Because in that little travel trailer, he would say, okay, God, I'm going to give a little bit that I have. It's called an offering. The Bible said in Malachi, wherein have you robbed me? He says, tithe and offering. This is Malachi 3. Tithe and offering. Peanut butter and jelly. Batman and David and... No, I'm Nicole. But you, I was thinking one thing, you were thinking the other. Come on, give it up for yourself and on the Bible. I'm proud. I thought you just knew me. You got me on that one. Tomorrow I'll come up with something different on that. So God wants you to understand there's tithe and there's offering. So my dad started reading the Bible that the Bible says that when you tithe, you open up the windows of heaven. But then nothing's coming out just because the window's open. But it says, as you open up the windows of heaven, he says, now the offering determines what comes out. So in other words, if there's no seed in the ground, there's no harvest in the field. So my dad started discovering that the seed that leaves your life, your hand will never leave your life. So sometimes people would like give an offering and they'd go, I gave that money away. And the Lord spoke to my dad and said, no, you're not giving the money away. You're sowing the money unto. When a farmer takes his money and buys corn, seed, and he puts it in the ground, he doesn't say, I'll never see that again. No, he goes out and says, God, let it rain. God, let it sun. God, let it rain. He doesn't go out on day three and go, God, you lied. What kind of God are you? I see no harvest. He knows that there, as long as the earth remains in Genesis, there's seed, there's time, and then there's harvest. Let's all shout that together. Seed, time, and harvest. So when you plant the seed of an offering, it doesn't derive overnight. There's seed, then there's time. The killing time is killing me, okay? Then there is harvest. So you plant a seed. So now my dad starts hearing and asking God, God, I need you to teach me to profit, what we just read. I need you to teach me. So he goes to this little town. This guy walks up to him and says, hey, would you be interested in these cassette tapes? Now, for those of you youngins that don't know what a cassette tape is, Google it. It's just, there's this little machine, and you put this tape in it, and you push play on it, and then it gets kind of messed up, and then you pull it out, and there's, come on, somebody, understand what I'm saying? And then you got to put a pencil in it and do this right here. You had it. How many of y'all had your own mixtape? It said love songs, right? So he's now listening to this information. Now, the Bible said the truth will set you free. So now, this guy named Kenneth Copeland is teaching my dad about the laws of prosperity, how that God wants you blessed. And then at some point, after being there a week, because my dad took one tape recorder, put an extension cord on it and plugged it in another, and he would push play and record, and we had to hear that 24 hours a day, and we stayed at that place for a couple of weeks just so my dad could get the free information, because he knew that information would give him power, and the information of God's word would set him free. So then finally we left that town, and we started believing God, and this is a new concept for some of you. Some of you need to ask God for an idea, for a concept. And you also need to stop cursing your future by saying, I never have enough money. Seems like things don't work out for me. You need to start saying what you want to have and say, I'm always at the right place at the right time. God's favor is all my life. People with resources are attracted to me. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. God, you're going to teach me in the way that I should go. That's the difference between simply riding a bike and doing flips on a bike. God wants us to elevate. He wants us to ride some ramps. He wants us to do some financial flips so that we can have resources, because if we had money, we changed the world. And we've already done a lot of world changing, but can you imagine? Because a lot of you have not been able to really resource the kingdom like you want to, but this is the weekend for a turnaround. Somebody ought to shout amen. This is the weekend that the Lord's going to show you what to do. So now Kenneth Copeland asks at the end, he says, I'm believing God to go on every available voice in the area of radio. I'm starting a radio ministry, and I'm going all over, and I'm asking for partners, people to give an offering, not tithe, an offering. Everybody shout an offering. Offering. He said, I want you to be a partner with my ministry for $30 a month if you will help us with that. And so my dad said on the inside of him, and if you're a note taker, write this down, 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. It says, let a man purpose in his own heart what he should give. Actually, the whole 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians is about money. So God didn't speak to him, give him money. It was just a knowing. And in his own heart, he said, God, show me how to give $30 a month. Now, this seems impossible now because we don't have any income. We're at these little churches, and they have no money. In fact, it was embarrassing. They would get up, and we'd be at a meeting for like 2 weeks, and they'd get up with a piece of paper and say, hey, we have the Cranks with us this week. They're an evangelist. I know you guys don't really have any money. You don't want to give any money, but who give them some Beanie Weenies? Anybody in here, we got this little thing for Beanie Weenies. You'll take that, okay? And then they have another thing. Anybody give them hamburger, and they have like a little thing for hamburger. Anybody give them toilet paper? I'm like, screw it. I'll steal the toilet paper from the church. Let's not talk about it. But this is the way you live when you are broke. But God wants us to live in prosperity. He wants us to live in blessing. He wants us to live in overflow. So my dad said, well, if we're going to get money, we've got to sow money. The reason why we have not received any resources is because we haven't given any. So my dad made a decision that we were going to start sending a dollar a day to Kenneth Copeland Ministries. This meant that every day, because we didn't have any money and the church couldn't afford to pay us, my dad would send us out in the afternoon and we'd start looking for soda bottles. And we would take the soda bottles and we would cash the soda bottles in until we had a dollar to send to Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Well, you know, everywhere we went, whatever town we lived in, we'd have to find that dollar. We'd ship it to Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Fort Worth, Texas, every day. Now, of course, now a dollar a day is a joke, but back then it was a lot of money, especially when you didn't have any money. And my dad was faithful to that. He started sowing into that. See, God was teaching him in the way he should go. Everybody shout amen to that.
Amen.
Now I'm here to tell you today that God's favor started activating a long-term harvest in our ministry's life because of my dad's faithfulness. Now as my dad sowed that, it was interesting. We went to a town. Now remember, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians again, he said, what you sow, you reap. Everybody shout, what you sow, you reap. In traffic, have you ever done this and you reap this back? Come on, y'all lying. I know you are. It's a Saturday night crowd. Have you ever let somebody in traffic? You just let them in. You felt like Mother Teresa. You're like, I'm a humanitarian. I am. Okay, you sow that, you reap that. You sow love, you get love. You sow money, you get money. Amen. So one day now, we're sitting beside some church in the middle of nowhere, and there was a knock at the trailer door. And there was a guy that said, man, I just don't know what in the world to do. I've been tossing and turning all night. God won't leave me alone. He said, here's that envelope. He hands my dad an envelope. He said, what is it? He said, God just told me to give you some money. Well, he shut the door. We walked away. And how many of you know you're ripping that envelope apart? My dad opens that envelope. And I'd never seen a $100 bill. My daddy had never seen a $100 bill. But there were five $100 bills. You talk about doing pro flips. My dad was like, oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. Oh. But here's the problem. The Bible said, I will give seed for the sower and bread for the eating. If you don't have any seed to sow, Maybe you've been eating all your seed. So God speaks to my dad's heart. He's shouting around the trailer. He's excited. Now you must back up and realize the night before, my dad would say, did anybody give me any money? Did anybody give me any money? Because we didn't have jobs. We were preaching every day, every night. No. So my dad would sit us down and we would get there in the little motorhome, travel trailer where we lived, and there was a seat here, a bench there, and a little table that folded up. It folded down at night, and that's where I slept at nighttime. That was my bed. Then I put it up, and I'd do my school there and eat there. And my dad would say, let's pray over this food we're about to eat. We had no food. And he would pray, God, bless this lunch meat, bless this bologna, because he was believing God for bologna. God, we just thank you for this bologna. It tastes so good. And we'd sit there and air eat bologna. Now, later I was thinking, why in the world? You talk about a broke mentality. If we're faking, let's not fake with bologna. Let's eat. Come on, somebody. Let's eat some steak up in here. Let's have some corn and mashed potatoes and some collard greens. But you know, if you're broke, you think broke. But a mind stretch never goes back to its original size. If you're thinking just about you and your needs and you have a baloney mentality, we can't buy ambulances for Haiti. We cannot go on television and rock the nation for Jesus. We cannot, somebody ought to help me tonight. We cannot do all the great things that we're doing. What you sow, you reap. Not tithe. Tithe just opens the window. I've been giving God my money. No, you haven't. You were returning the tithe. You give an offering. I love you, Lord. Well, your checkbook doesn't reflect that. So now, while my dad's dancing around the trailer, God speaks to him and said, you know how you were praying the other day and you said, oh, God, help me give a big offering, God. I need a big harvest, God. Give me a seed to sow. And you purposed in your heart that you would send that ministry $500. God said, this is the 500. He said, take out just enough for your bread and send the rest. He said, he was saying stuff like, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You will not steal my resources. Now see, God said he loves a cheerful giver, but sometimes you're not cheerful. Anybody ever know what I'm talking about? But my dad did it. He sent $450 in a money order to that ministry. It proved something to me. Now watch this. This is not happening just because my dad was a nice guy, not just because he was out serving the Lord. This was happening because my dad was tapping into a principle called the law of the harvest, reciprocation. This hand today washed this hand. And after I shake hands tonight, it's going to wash it again. So reciprocation is everything. Reciprocity. So now we go to the next town. The Lord teaches you to prosper. What a man sows, he shall also reap. We go to the next town. We're still as broke as we were. And we're in Coffeyville, Kansas, preaching. My dad's renting a little room because now he's figured out maybe he ought to do his own meetings. Because a lot of times the church wouldn't allow him to do what he needed to do. In fact, in the South, they wouldn't let black people come, which was always a problem for my dad. Because as you know, our whole family, actually, we're not actually white. I'm the blackest white guy you'll ever meet in your life. It was a problem. Where are my city people at? Yeah. Okay, so now my dad's preaching. Now remember this. Let's put it up again. Isaiah 48:17. It says that, remember, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, the Redeemer, the Lord who teaches you to profit and lead you. And lead you. Everybody shout, I'm led.
I'm led.
Shout it again, I'm led. I'll say the right thing at the right time to activate the right harvest. So my dad, right, he's preaching. He preaches the word. He's done. He's going to pray over the 30 people that are there. And he says, right when he's praying, he hears these three letters and these three numbers. So he says, you know, in Jesus' name, well, before I close, NJC476. Amen. So this guy runs up to the altar. Well, it wasn't an altar. It's just a place where Dad was preaching. And he said, oh my gosh, my name is Roy Toothaker. I am a professor and my mother died. And when she died, I was worried that she didn't go to heaven. And I just came tonight and asked God, if this is real and my mother's in heaven and he's a man of God, give him my license plate number. Come on, somebody ought to freak out right now. Oh, yeah. Now, my dad sowed the $500 seed. Now he pulls out his checkbook and says, I just want to write you a check for $10,000. And my dad's like, oh, this is the big one. Somebody ought to help me right now. But he sowed a seed, he reaped a harvest. Now he was sad when he lost the 450 because his mind said, that's why the Bible said in Proverbs 3, you should read Proverbs 3, write that down. Proverbs 3, it said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will, here's the key, direct your path. So the key to success in life is being direction. So you've been running around blind, getting in all kinds of business deals, trying to figure out how you could do this and how you could outsmart them here, how you could sell Vita Vita Vegemin to all your friends, and you invited them over, and you paid them steak, and then you tried to do your plan, and they all left, and they left your steak, and then it didn't work out, and you realized you had made a mistake. Some of you will get that. That was a joke that was over your head, but it's good. You don't have to try to figure it out. God will lead you. So that was incredible. My dad came back, man, we cast that check. Then the guy writes us a letter because we lived at 426 Herc down by the River DePere. But we were only there for about 2 days a month because he's out preaching. We live in an $11,000 house, and that guy sends a letter. We come back in town, and dad said, man, we got another letter from brother so-and-so. I realized I made a mistake when I gave his name last time. He said, can I come to your house and see you? How many of y'all know the answer is yeah? Because that check cleared. Come on, somebody. I said, we can you come over? So now the guy shows up at the house. We're in town for like 2 days, reloading, washing, getting ready to go back out on the evangelistic field. And so he comes in town and he said, man, that's the junkiest car I've ever seen in my life. We got a 1979 Pinto, and it's four-tone. How many of y'all know two-tone paint, but anybody know what a four-tone is? Come on, somebody. I mean, it's got Bondo over here. It's got primer over here because your buddy's going to paint it over here. It's got just all kinds of four-tone Pinto. Not many of them. This is a collector set right now, y'all. He said, that's the junkiest car I've ever seen. And so he says, you know what? You guys are running around in this car. He said, we're going to the Cadillac dealership. So he goes down to the Cadillac dealership, and he writes a check and buys my dad a two-tone, not a four-tone, but a two-tone brand-new Cadillac with an 8-track. Somebody ought to understand what I'm talking about, an 8-track. And so now we're driving down the road in an 8-track. Oh, now the dollar a day has paid off. Now the $500 seed is paid off. Now the tithe and the offering over the $10,000 seed is now paid off again. Now don't judge my dad's harvest until you have seen his seed. I don't think he ought to drive that. That ain't none of your business. Because you don't know what she did. How is she a single mom? Driving like that. Well, you don't know. Her church might have blessed her with it. How is he living like that? You don't know what in the world happened, except God might have blessed them after years and years of pain and struggling and trying to make it. God might have put his super on his natural. Somebody ought to help me right now. Hello, Jesus. Now, Psalms 115:14. It says, Psalms 115:14. I kind of sprung it on you. I quoted about 90 scriptures, and then I gave you this one. I think the little spinning wheel of death is going. Psalms 115:14. There it is. May the government increase you more and more. Am I not seeing that right? May your job increase you more and more. May your labor union, after much picketing, increase you more and more. Now I'm a homeschooler, so be patient with me. Let me try it one more time. May the Lord. Oh, somebody ought to help me with that. You felt that hit, didn't you? I said, may the Lord. That word Lord means Sabaoth. That Lord means Jehovah Jireh, your provider, Jehovah Makedes, Jehovah Shalom, Adonai, Jehovah Nisi, your banner, Jehovah Rophi, your healer. The Lord will increase you more. Somebody ought to help me right now. I'm talking about doing some flips. I'm talking about riding your bike. I'm talking about I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. I'm saying I'll never be broke another day of my life. Not as long as people are broke and people are hungry and people need to hear the gospel preached. May the Lord increase you more and more. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. Oh, Lord. All right, sit down because we're out of time. We got 3 minutes and 33 seconds left because the food trucks are out there, so we got to wrap this. That's what's good about you. Tomorrow, don't miss it. Just because you came to a party tonight, don't you not be at Weldon tomorrow. We're doing a head count. Don't you not be at our city tomorrow. We can't throw no parties if you can't party on Saturday night and go to church on a Sunday. So if you want to have another food truck, your little backside better be at church in the morning. I'm talking to you right now. Come on, don't make me come down there after you right now like this. Anybody ever had that happen? Come on, raise your hand if you ever got whooped. Raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, I know why you're jacked up. Just listen. May the Lord increase you more and more. So the Lord does it. Malachi 3:10 says, bring your full tithe to the house of God, to the treasury. There will be ample provision in the temple. Test me and see if I will not open up heaven itself and pour you out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. Now, see, when my dad was sowing a dollar a day, which is nonsense now. I mean, this is 1978 and he had no money. He was sowing a harvest that he didn't even fully reap. Because the Bible said that your children and your children's children would reap. And so he reaped a lot, but he didn't reap the fullness. I was invited to New York 2 years ago. And we pray for Republicans, and we pray for Democrats, and we were there with some people that were going to run. And I was standing in the elevator shaft with... And there was another elevator shaft over here waiting to go up to meet in this meeting. And I looked over and I seen Kenneth Copeland, the guy that my dad sent a dollar a day to my whole life. And I saw him, and I saw him on that elevator, and I thought, I wish he was on my elevator. He's over there. I'm over here with all Baptist guys. They put me in the Baptist line because a lot of people confuse me with Baptist people because I'm so such a soul winner. Thank God for Baptist people because they win souls like crazy. So they always throw me in the Baptist camp. And I'm really just a mixed puppy. I'm a little bit Catholic. I'm a little bit Lutheran. I'm a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll. Come on, somebody. I'm a little bit Baptist, a little bit Pentecostal. I'm a Jesus guy. How many of y'all Jesus people in here? So I'm looking at him, and I thought, I wish he's over here. Now, these are some of the greatest preachers in America. And all of a sudden, they said, oh, they're putting everybody on it. And they held him back. They said, you know, as many people we can get on that elevator, you just go ahead and get over in this elevator over here. So they walk him over to me, and I'm like, ha, ha, ha. Now, this is good. I didn't want anything from him. Didn't need anything from him. Didn't even think he'd give anything to me. I just said, hi, I'm David Crank, and my dad, boy, he grabs my cheek. Now, he's 79 then. He grabs my cheek. Boy, your daddy sent that dollar every day. He's telling all the, I'm talking about the biggest church. One guy built a $110 million Baptist church in Dallas. He's in the elevator. They're all, I mean, this is who's who. They don't even know who I am, but now they do. This dad, boy, he sent me a dollar every day of his life. And they're looking like, well, that's interesting. We got up to the top floor, we did the meeting, and he said, hey, I started a new television network, and I'm only putting on the people that I like. It's going to cost me $10 million a year to put it on, but it'll do the whole nation. And he said, I want to put you on. I said, well, I'd like that. So some of these networks like TVN for 30 minutes, it's $7,500 for 30 minutes. Daystar, same. A lot of money. So he said, I'll have my guy send you a contract. So they put us on for free. I said, isn't that good? Then he started watching the show, and he said, you are the funniest preacher I've ever heard in my life. I mean, I can't stop watching this program. Now, I don't like the way you dress. I hate the holes in your jeans. He calls them poverty pants. Those are poverty pants, and you shouldn't wear them. Those are poverty pants. What are you doing with those crazy holes? I said, oh, man, it's a style. It's what I do. Okay. Then they called us back and said, hey, he decided He doesn't get to see as much as he wants to, so they've reissued your contract for free. Now remember, $1 a day, $2 a day, then $5 a day. And I said, yeah. So my TV buyer says, hey, I got a contract, which, I mean, we don't even need him because there's no negotiations. He said, they put you on for 13 times. You're on 13 times in America. I'm talking about from Washington, D.C. to New York City to L.A. to Miami, all over America, 13 times a week for free. I said, what? Then after a year, they came back and they said, Randall calls me, Randall Taylor with Dunham & Company, says, hey, Copeland Network called back. They renegotiated their contract. I said, well, how much money they want? He said, they're doing 13 times for free again for another year. I don't get a dime. I'm not getting paid. Somebody ought to shout amen for that. I'm saying the Lord teaches you how to profit. So the other day, we came back to preach here because we always do because we love Faith Church. Greatest church in the whole wide world. But there was a minister's conference with about 3,000 preachers. I came back to preach here. And when I left, they said, hey, Brother Copeland was talking about you. Some friends texted. And here's what he said just a few days ago.
Is David and Nicole Crank still here? Are they gone? Their dad, he said all the years of his life, he had never gotten up to the national poverty level. He's a preacher. Thought you're supposed to be broke all your life. But he got a hold of some of our tapes and started listening to me on the radio back there years and years ago. And the Lord said, and he began to learn some things here about this, and he said, I want you to send him $1 a day. He said, where am I going to get $30 a month? He said, I never told you $30 a month. I said $1 a day. And David Crank, how many of you watch David on the BBOBN? Well, if you don't, you better. You need to watch him. And David said he'd be out looking for pop bottles or anything else. You got to get that dollar today. They sent $1 a day. It got to where the whole mailroom was looking for the dollar a day man. He's getting more prayer than any partner we had because they're, man, we're praying for these guys. Where's his dollar? Sometimes you get stamps. And, you know, all good, but we got that dollar. And really all that long, it went to two. And then up. And then up. And then up. And then up. And it got on, I mean, it got on up there. The last check, I know the last check we got from is nearly $15,000. And this is back when $15,000, you know, was $50,000. And he went home to be with the Lord. But now, David Jr., pastoring dynamic churches, amen, doing extremely well financially. Why? Because his dad taught him. See, he wasn't ashamed of that dollar. Hallelujah. He's a partner. And he taught his children to be partners.
Come on, give it up for Brother Copeland and sowing that seed. One last scripture I want to read, Proverbs 11:25. It says, the one who blesses others will be abundantly blessed. And those who water will themselves be watered. I asked you at the beginning, how many of y'all could use some more resources? Most everyone said yes. Because you're smart. Because really, every failure in life is a failed instruction. People say, today I flew in a while ago on an airplane, by the way, that was given to me. And people say, well, small airplanes kill people. And I always say, no, people kill small airplanes. Because they do dumb stuff. Fly into stuff. Try not to do maintenance. A failed instruction. People get electrocuted when they think, well, I think I need to save time, and I'm going to take a bath and dry my hair at the same time, no matter what this tag says. I'm going to cut the tag off. How many of y'all, you can cut the tag off. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. You can throw it away, but you're still going to die. Failed instruction. So if we want a harvest in life, if we say, okay, God, of course we are tithers. That's a given. We are tithers. But there's a time to where, God, I'm going to sow $1,000. I'm going to give $500. I'm going to give $100. There's always this thing that you even make a purpose in your own heart and say, there's a certain amount that I'm going to give every week over and above my tithe. Because over and above giving leads to over and above living. Tweet that. Over and above giving leads to over and above living. And then sometimes, I'll close with this. Sometimes it's the law of use. Come here, Arden. I want everybody to see how beautiful you are. I should have brought Susie up because she's so pretty. She's prettier than you are, of course. But when my dad died, I was at a conference. And I was sitting there. And I turned around and I met this guy. He said, hi, I'm Arden McKinley. I said, I'm David Crank. So where are you from? He said, I'm from Union, Missouri. I said, I know where that's at. I said, I live out in Villa Ridge myself. We started talking. He said, I worked for TWA for 29 years.
33.
Come on, that's when they killed Jesus. Be careful. And I said, well, I'm a pilot. So they ended up joining the church because my daddy had just died. I needed them in my life so much. I needed them beside me. Didn't even know what a blessing they would be. And I told him, yeah, well, come to the church. There's about 200 people there. And then now the church needed repair. And I decided that I wanted to make the priority God's house. I sold my house to fix up God's house. You guys helped me clean it up. And then one day the Lord spoke to me because my dad had left me an airplane because I was his pilot. When he died, he gave me the plane. I could never afford to. It was a single prop plane. It was so slow I'd tell the geese, go around. But it was an airplane. And I was praying one day and in my heart, through the law of use, I just felt like, I don't need that plane. I'm going to be busy building God a house. And so God just asked me kind of in my heart, would you sell that plane and give the church the money? So I don't think I could really do it. So I asked Arden, will you sell a plane for me? So he put it in trade a plane. He started talking to people. He called me one day and said, hey, there's a guy that wants to meet us in Branson, Point Lookout, Papa Lima Kilo. We put it in there and flew down. And he drove another vehicle down in case the deal worked out. I landed the plane, got out of the plane. Another guy lands. And he has his attorney with him. He starts walking around the plane. And in the plane business, you don't just buy a plane. You do a pre-buy. So they send it away and they do a bunch of stuff. But no, not this guy. He kind of kicks the tires. He turns it on. He runs it up. And then he's kind of talking like this. And he said, you know what? I like it. Here's the check. And so he slides over a cashier's check. And I don't remember how much more it was for. Is it $15,000 more than I was asking? Like that? So it was $15,000 or $20,000 too much. He said, I want to buy it. And I said, sir, this is too much. He said, well, what are you asking? So I told him. He said, oh, I'll just keep it. How many of y'all know that's weird? And I said, well, what do you do? He said, well, like just a few years ago, I was in prison. I go, is this check good? He said, yeah, right here is my attorney. He said, I was in prison. He said, I didn't think I'd ever get out of prison. And I told God if he'd help me, I'd help him, and I'd get out, and I gave my life to God. He said, now I'm the biggest drywall contractor in America. Every single Sam's, every single Walmart, I'm the drywall guy. I own my own airport, and I like collecting airplanes. Take the money, boy. He took the money. The airplane went, wow, and I felt so sad. I'm in the car driving home with him. He's like, isn't that awesome? You're going to give that money to the church? I'm like, shut up. So, oh, man, we're going to fix the church up. We're going to fix the bathrooms up. We're going to get rid of those overhead projectors. It's going to be awesome. I'm like, we're doing 40 miles an hour on a two-lane road. Shut! We gave it, fixed up the church. But remember, the seed that leaves your hand never leaves your life. I didn't need an airplane. Years and years later, building the church, working night and day, and then God told me, I want you to start a church in Florida. I'm like, oh, my Lord. Why in the world do you want me in Florida? He said, there's nobody like Faith Church in Florida. And there's a lot of people in West Palm, the most unchurched city in America. I want you to go there and start a church. So I went on television. We became the number one rated television program in Palm Beach County. Almost 500,000 people watching the program. And pastors are calling me saying, our churches are filling up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God said, no, I need you to go down there. When they go there, it's not that brand. They're not getting the same thing. I said, how am I going to do that? Well, some heathen heard that I need to play a very long story. And a man provided me, never met him, not even saved, from Springfield, Missouri, provided me with the fastest airplane that you can imagine. All I had to do was replace the engines and stuff and do the maintenance stuff on it. And, you know, I flew it for a month for free, 2 months for free, 5 months free. I'm burning it up and back and forth, 1,100, over almost a year and a half. And then on the way back one day, I could hear that engine on the right side, which is $300,000 to replace it. And I knew it needed to be replaced. And I could hear it going, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And then I could hear the left one going, I'm coming due too soon. There, I had a harmony going. And then I land. And I said, God, he said, I told you I'd provide for you. You stop thinking about that. I'm not going to leave you out there on that airlines doing that mess. I brought this. I need you to preach because thousands of people are getting saved. And I mean, you can't believe, I won't even name drop, but it's bizarre. The people that from the White House to the outhouse, they're all watching and lives are being changed. And so now I land here in St. Louis and I could hear those engines. What are you going to do? And some guy that, he don't even go to this church. He's from Oklahoma. He called me up and said, oh, I bought a condo, like not a condo, like the whole condo association, in 2008 for X amount of millions. And the crash hit. Now it's worth millions and millions and boatloads of millions. And the guy wants to buy a piece of it. He came and he said, I don't quite have enough money, so what I want to do is I want to trade you this 150-foot yacht, and I want to trade you this other jet airplane. And the guy said, I don't need a jet airplane. I already got two jet airplanes. And he said, I heard the Holy Spirit said, that plane's not yours. That belongs to PD. He said... He's thinking, well, I need to take the trip. Then he said, how many of y'all, he's smart. He goes, I told you I don't need an airplane, but he knows he's got to buy it now. He ends up taking the airplane in on trade, brand new engines, calls me up and says, hey, I want to sign this thing over to the ministry, and it's really good. One of the reasons I want to do it, so nobody can ever say that you used the church money to buy a jet airplane. So here you go, boy. Tell everybody, screw off. It's yours. Preach the gospel and do whatever you're called to do. Somebody ought to shout amen. So a while ago, I said, wow. I landed over there in East St. Louis, tried not to get shot on my way over here on the way to preach. Because we preached the gospel. Last night, we were in Miami, and I stood on the stage, and I prayed the prayer of faith over those people. And thousands, and where the heat plays, we're in the backstage where the heat plays, and 90% of the audience stands for first-time salvation, an ocean of people. That's what planes are for. Somebody ought to shout. That's what stadiums are for. Come on, can somebody say amen? That we might end up with the dome. Somebody ought to shout amen. If you don't play ball there, you ought to have church there. Everybody stand with me. I want to pray this prayer over you real quick. We're almost done. We're going to go out and party. Don't you dare leave. We're going to party. Remember when you used to party? We're going to party now with Jesus and church people, get to know people. Every head bowed and every eye closed. How many of y'all would say, Pastor, it hit my heart tonight and I'm getting a revelation on giving, that tithing's not enough. Raise your hand. I want to see that hand all over. Let God see it. God, I see those hands. You can put it down. Now, I want you to look at me right now for a second. I need to tell you this. I love you guys. I'm called to you. I will pastor here in the Show Me State, in the Sunshine State for the rest of my life. And I love you. And I want to help you get from where I was to where God wants you to be. And Jesus is going to do it. I say it with all humility. I shouldn't get to pastor this church. I shouldn't get to live the life that I live. But oh, thank God. God doesn't base it on our performance. He bases it on His. So I want you to expect when I pray this prayer, and I lead you in it because I want you to say it with me, that God's going to give you a seed to sow. And some of you already have a seed to sow. You know that thing you're supposed to sell, and you can actually just write the check right now and take it out of your bank account until you sold it, because you can't activate the harvest until you plant the seed. I didn't know that. Dad, I told you on the way back, I said, man, I'll probably never have an airplane again. And God's like, no, you're not going to have a little plane with a prop. This thing's so fast, I can't even fly it, because you got to have it pointed in the right direction or you'll drill a hole in a building. And God does bigger than you think. So just because you lost a house, expect God to give you another one. Just because you lost that car, expect God to give you another one. Just because you lost that job, expect God. Because it's never for less, it's always for more. It was a seed. Everybody shout, it was a seed. Now I want you to pray this prayer. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I ask for forgiveness for eating my seed. I should have exchanged it for a harvest. I believe right now that God is believing my prayer and He is orchestrating my paths. These hands type all the right emails. They dial all the right numbers. They shake all the right hands. These hands are not sticky. My mind is not my boss. My flesh is not my boss. I listen to the word and my heart, and I obey God so that my financial harvest can be big.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.